and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And today on the show, we're talking about the value of adding an extra bedroom in to an investment property. Now, this comes from a listener of the show, Jay, who has been asking about how do you actually add an extra bedroom or an extra bathroom in, and why is it such a popular tactic? How do you go about doing it? And I suppose this is one of your old MOs, Andrew, used to do all the time when you were renovating.
Yeah. Back when I used to buy old houses, old rundown houses, or just properties that had unusual configurations, one of my standard tricks to get my yield up would be that I'd add an extra bedroom. Now, Andrew Nicholl does it the easiest way possible, and that's actually where I see the most value add in being able to do this. So a lot of really old houses, kind of 50 plus years old, you'll find that they've got unusual wasted space like hallways and stuff like that. Often you'll find there'll be an extra kind of living room or even really large bedrooms. So I would often look for a property, an old villa or something like that, where I could convert one of the lounge areas or a conservatory into an extra room without really doing much. Now, sometimes what you would do is convert something into a bedroom without really doing anything other than recarpeting and painting it. And all we'd do is maybe there was a glass door on it because it was a living room. We'd replace that with just a normal door. And then we'd say, oh, that's a bedroom. You can use that for a living room as well. So then people had the option of three bedrooms and two lounges, or four bedrooms and one lounge, which was completely fine as well. Now, what you would find there is for a relatively cost-effective renovation, you could add that extra room. The other trick would be if we would find these really big bedrooms, especially like old villas, you'd find a big room or a lounge and you'd have a fireplace in the middle of it. Well, you get rid of that and then one of those open wood fires. And then what you do is you take out that and then you'd rejib everything and you'd put a non-load-bearing wall, so just a really easy wall, right in the middle of it just to partition it off. Again, you've got to be careful around configuration because obviously you can't have – I did go to one property where an investor had done this, and to get to one bedroom, you had to walk through another room. That doesn't work. You can't have someone strolling through a room to get to another room.
Was that like another bedroom?
Yeah, another bedroom, sorry. And so what you want to do is make sure that you can get access via, you know, a hallway or something like that. But if you can reconfigure it in such a way where putting up a wall, doing some paint and carpeting might cost you $5,000-$10,000. It's nothing. You've just got to be really careful when you start doing things that require consent, because consent takes time and it's just a bit more of a hassle. So you need to be really careful before you start removing walls or changing them to check whether or not they're load bearing. And what that means is that they need to be there for the structural integrity of the building to be maintained. So you can't just go start knocking out walls. I say this because I too removed a load bearing wall midway through a renovation one time, and I had my friend who was a builder come around and go, you can't take that wall out, and we were just trying to make an open plan kitchen. Well, we did that and also took down one of the main walls of the house, so we had to remedy that pretty quickly. Anyway, some general numbers. What I would look for now if I were doing this kind of strategy is I'd try and find a house for say $450,000 that I could get $450,000 a week rent for, so that would be 5.2% gross yield. And then I'd look for something that I could tart up a bit and maybe find an extra room and get that rent up to kind of $525,000, which would be more common for say a four bedroom house. Now, I wouldn't want to spend any more than say $30,000 on a project like that. So I'd take my full loan to $480,000, being $450,000 purchase price and $30,000 with the renovations and holding costs during that downtime, and then get $525,000 a week rent. Now my yield jumps up to 5.68. So, you know, a good increase in yield. Probably, again, for me, I always look for a double return on my money if I'm going to do a renovation project. So if I'm spending $30,000, I want a $60,000 value increase. So I would want to know that my property was worth at least $510,000 by the time I finished that project, or else it's just not worth the risk. Because of course, when you're dealing with older properties, you rip up that carpet and oh, there's borer here or something like that. I was never one to add new bathrooms actually, and the reason for that is bathrooms are expensive because you've got plumbing. Now that can actually be really good for adding value, but it wasn't my thing. I just do something simple in the cheat sheet.
So there are three ways to go about adding that extra bedroom in. Just to recap those, the first is to just change an existing room and say that no, that's no longer a lounge, or that's no longer a study, that's our bedroom, and to dress it appropriately. The second way to do that is by putting in some new walls or carving up certain parts to reconfigure the house. And the third is, which of course requires a builder's consent, is to build on or tack on an extra bedroom. But of course, if you are reconfiguring parts of the house. Another thing you could look out for is a garage if you want to remodel that as a separate sleep out or as an extra bedroom. And it is usually these older types of houses that you can do this to. I think one of the first properties I lived in as a kid was, I think it was 12 Disraeli Street. I might have got that wrong. It was something Disraeli Street in Harbour back in South Taranaki. And it was a 1920s, 1930s sort of villa. And there were two lounges, and there were two big glass doors that go between the main lounge and the secondary lounge. Now, that secondary lounge could have easily been reconfigured as an extra bedroom. Just take out those glass doors and the entrance things around the doors that show that there is a doorway there, whack across a wall, and bam, that becomes a secondary bedroom, or the fourth bedroom in that case. My sister's just moved into a place in New Plymouth, and again, it's probably a 1950s, 1960s house where there's a separate dining room, a separate lounge, and a kitchen slash lounge. So you've got all of these different areas. It would be very easy to whack across an additional wall to wall off that dining room. Bam, you've got a fourth bedroom in that case. So it is these older sorts of properties that you need to dress appropriately, wank some walls across, and you'd be okay in that case.
And actually, sometimes it's just as simple as furnishing the house in such a way that people realise that something can be used for a bedroom. For us, whenever we sold a property, what we would do, we'd stage it. Or if we were having trouble renting it, what we would do is stage it. So we'd hire furniture for the house, and we'd put a bed in an area, we'd put some little cabinets next to it. Then all of a sudden, it would actually look and feel like a bedroom. Because sometimes, you know, if something like a lounge has been converted, it might not have the built-in wardrobes that other rooms in the house might automatically have because they were designed to actually be bedrooms. So if you had a standalone wardrobe and you had that bedding stuff and some lamps, all of a sudden it works quite well. Some things to be aware of, though, there are stuff that you'll find in like a living area that you might not find in a bedroom, such as a fireplace. So some of the old houses and villas around the country do have fireplaces in them, but they're less common. You often find that the entrances and exits, they might not come off an appropriate hallway. They might come off for another room. So you've got to be aware of that, and bay windows. And often you have these odd shaped rooms. I remember there's one property in Opawa Road that I looked at buying. This was my plan. And it had a really weird like hexagonal room, and being able to actually reconfigure that was just so impractical because you just couldn't hang a picture up or something like that. Getting furniture in there was just going to be a pain. And actually, one of the biggest challenges for these old houses was plugs. So we would have to always put a bit more money into the electrical side of things. So I remember in Wilson's Road, the bane of my life, imagine the day that listeners hear that I've managed to sell that one. That one there, every room, because it was a 100-year-old house, had one plug socket. So you'd have like a multi-box in there, and you might have eight different things coming off, because nowadays we've got a charger for our phone, our iPad, our Apple Watch, we've got a lamp, we've got a laptop, we've got a screen or something like that, and our TV. All of a sudden you've got so much drain, and so you have to actually appropriately put plugs around the house so that you can have your phone charging by your bed, etc.
And I guess one of the things that you're trying to maintain as you're building in an extra bedroom or bathroom is to think about the flow of the house, because you still want to make sure that there is a flow around the place. So if you take out a lounge that connects two other rooms, then maybe you've got an extra odd looking hallway in the middle of your house. You want to make sure that this extra bedroom that you add in doesn't stick out like dog's bollocks.
Yes.
And that it's like, oh, I see what they've done here. They've added in an extra bedroom. You want to make it seem as if this is part of the house and it fits within it, rather than breaking up the flow.
And actually, to be fair, certainly there are, Wilson's Road is a good example of that. The layout of the house was basically to maximise rental income for that property. And there is an odd sort of hallway that's, I think actually my father did some of his handy DIY work in that one. And so we've just kind of painted it. And it doesn't feel right when you walk in. It's just a peculiar, and certainly in those odd properties you do find this, because you have these DIY Kiwis that go in and just put in a temporary hallway wall, and all of a sudden you've got an extra room. But it doesn't feel nice from a flow, and that will affect your value going forward. So it's great if you can do these things to increase your rent perhaps, but you've just got to remember, when you sell it, if it becomes too much of a rental student type of accommodation because you've turned it into such a high yielding product, you might want to remove that wall and make it feel like a spacious home again that achieves the top dollar for that sale price.
And what that shows as well, Andrew, is that there are different stages to investment properties. So perhaps you will do things that make a property look a bit more peculiar initially, because you are trying to increase the rental yield. Later on, when you come to sell it, you want to maximize your sale price in that case, and that might be where you reconfigure it again.
Absolutely, and that's where if you have all these small boxy rooms but you get a really, really good yield, just make sure that you're doing things that are somewhat temporary, that you can rip out that old carpet and redo that room so all of a sudden it's so nice again that you achieve top dollar at auction.
I guess something that most people will be thinking about as well is what sort of value uplift would I expect from adding that extra bedroom? This is something I see investors ask all the time. What's the value uplift, or what additional rent do I get if I install a new heat pump? Or what if I install solar panels? What's the value uplift? And sometimes it can be quite hard to isolate the exact value uplift that comes from the extra bedroom, because generally speaking, if somebody is renovating a property, then they might also redo the kitchen and some of the bathrooms, and they'll paint and they'll recarpet and they'll add in the extra bedroom. And all of that adds up to a package that a valuer is looking at or somebody else is buying.
But often you haven't changed the square meter of the house, and that's a big component of the value of a property as well. So you might have generated more income but not actually significantly increased the value of the property. So I guess you've got to decide, well, what am I doing this for? Am I doing this to increase my serviceability so that then it's more achievable for me to hold this property portfolio long term, or manage it while interest rates are higher, etc., or this can top up one of my other properties which is lower yielding? Or are you trying to add value? Because by adding value, that's where you maybe you need to extend the property. But extending the property, you might add a good amount of value, but it might not improve the yield that much, because you go from being a 10 grand renovation to a 100 grand renovation.
And actually, just while I'm thinking about it as well, that is a good point, Andrew. What you add into the property is going to depend on what you're trying to get out. I remember seeing one plan an investor was looking at where they were going to reconfigure, I think it was a 3-bedroom house into a 5-bedroom student accommodation. Now, in that case, their plan was that they were going to significantly reduce the size of the lounge, because if you're renting to students, they don't really care about the size of the lounge. They care about that they have a room. Similarly, they didn't think about adding in a whole heap of additional bathrooms, because again, that wasn't what was required to increase the yield and have students in there.
And this is about knowing your strategy and knowing what you're doing it for, because again, it can be quite confusing in property investment because there are so many ways to make money out of it, but it's knowing which way is the right way to make money for you.
Fantastic. Let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, if you've got something you'd like us to talk about on this podcast, or a guest idea that you think, hey, you should really get this person on, then give us a text. Our number is 5522. It'd be really great to learn what you want to hear more about so that we can record podcasts on it, just like we have today for Jay. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And we're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.